We know the Bible is God's perfect word. We love the Bible. At Stillwater Bible, we love the Bible. We hold to it. It's our authority. It's the inspired word of God. But that's not that way for everybody. You understand that there's people who believe the Bible is just a really good book and that maybe have some problems, has some errors, or it just helps us in life, gives us life lessons, things like that. Or some people say it's just a collection of stories. Well, you realize that most people don't know the Bible anymore. There are a lot of you who are my age or maybe older or maybe just a little younger that we grew up in what was known as the Bible Belt or the Bible Time. In fact, that everybody looked and said, oh yeah, the Bible. Bible's God's word. It's true. You should have an understanding of the Bible. Whether you actually went to church or not, people all went back to the Bible and were taught. But we've got generations now that they weren't taught the Bible at all. I didn't go to church, but I got taught the Bible at school by the Christmas stories and things that we had there. But nowadays, none of that's there. And it's amazing how little people know the scripture. So I just did some research. There was a Bible college. I don't think I'll name the college. But several years ago, they gave a Bible quiz to all entering freshmen. 1,100 Christians go into a Bible college, and they said, we're going to give you a quiz. Bible quiz. 150 questions. To pass the test, they only had to get 50 right. So that means they could miss 100 and still pass it. Out of the 1,100 kids, 45 passed it. That means only 45 kids knew at least 50 of the 150 questions. And that's kids that come out of church going to a Bible college. George Barna did a survey. 50% of the people that they surveyed, and these are supposed to be Christians, they surveyed believers in churches supposedly, and 50% could not name the Gospels. 60% could not name 5 of the 10 commandments. So you talk to Adam. Where's Adam? Is Adam in here? Adam had a song. Well, you learned a song growing up to know the 10 commandments, didn't you? Yeah, right. See? No, I'm not going to make him sing it. Well, first of all, there's 2 reasons I won't make him sing it. Number one, he might not remember it. But number two, we don't want to hear him sing. Let me just say that, okay? 50% that they dealt with youth in a church thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Jay Leno asked some questions to the audience, and his question was, who gave the Sermon on the Mount? And most people said Billy Graham. Listen, that's true. No one there could name four of the disciples, but they could all name the Beatles. Okay? So, I mean, we laugh, and it's true, but the truth is, it's sad. I hope that every one of you could go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I hope you could name some of the 10 commandments. I hope you could understand who Sodom and Gomorrah was. I hope you've looked at the Bible enough. And if you've been in any of our classes, you've been in our church for any length of time, we teach through the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage. But so many people don't know the scripture. And there's even people probably in our church that come every Sunday, but they don't know it. They're not listening, or maybe they haven't studied it. I think it's a dual aspect, that not only are we taught it, but you've got to study it yourself as well, and we'll talk more about that. But let's think about the Bible. God has given to us the Word of God, God's great gift to us. So let's think about that. Revelation. The Bible uses the term revelation. Revelation is God making himself known. Now, he's made himself known in a lot of ways. He made himself known through angels, through prophets, through the creation, through his son. He's made himself known in a lot of ways. But one of the ways he's made himself known is through the scripture, and that's called inspiration. Revelation is God making himself known, but inspiration is God making himself known in written form. You have what's called the inspired word of God, because this is revelation from God in a written form. When Peter talked about this in his book, in one of the 2 letters, he said this: we have a more sure word of prophecy. He says, you know, you can have experience. And he said, I had a great experience. Peter said, I went on the mountain, and we've already seen this in the Gospel of Matthew. Peter said, I went on the mountain, and I saw Jesus as he is going to be as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. But then he went on and said, but we have a more sure word than an experience. We have the written word of God. Let me tell you, you can come to me and say, you know, I had this dream last night, or I had some experience that I think this. Listen, if it doesn't line up with this, it doesn't matter what your experience is. Our Bible doesn't line up with your experiences. Your experiences must line up with the scripture, because it is the inspired word of God. There's one Bible and how many books? 66. How many in the Old Testament? 39. How many in the New Testament? 27. Okay, you know it. Old Testament looks forward and the New Testament looks back. The story of the Bible, what is it? The perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. There's a lot of people confused on what the Bible is all about, and they want to give all kinds of things, but the story of the Bible is how God brings man to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And so from Adam to Moses, there was no written revelation, but there was information that God gave. And now we have the complete Word of God, beginning when Moses wrote the first five books, about 1440 B.C. So we have a written revelation. The Old Testament took about 1,500 years to put together. The New Testament took about 45 to 50 years to put together. And we have the completed Word of God. So let's talk about it this morning. We'll go fairly quickly through this because this is not something new for all of us. But let's talk about the Word of God, because in our chart, this is B. The first one, he's going to meet our needs. The second one, B, is that he's given to us the Word of God. So let's talk about it and let's think about some things. First of all, the Bible is alive and powerful. It is. I didn't want you to turn there, but it says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword, piercing far as the vision of the soul and spirit, both of the joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Now, what the Bible does is when you read this thing, it touches you. It's alive. It's powerful. It's not just a book. In fact, anybody that actually gets into it and starts reading it, especially if you're a believer, and you got the Holy Spirit and you start reading the Bible, there's times that you'll go, I've never seen this before. Oh, my gracious, this is amazing. This is such a great thing. And so it's alive and powerful, and it's sharper, and it goes right to the heart of the issue. We're going to talk more about that in a minute, but it is alive. We study the Bible. It touches us. It's not just a book. The Holy Spirit actually illuminates the Bible for us. And we will talk more about that when we get down to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because that's a gift that God has given to us, and that's the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that, because people think the Holy Spirit's a force. Holy Spirit's not a force. Holy Spirit's a what? What? He's a person. He's God, right? So the first aspect is the Bible is alive and powerful. And that's why we take it, and sometimes we close it, and then we don't open it up again till the next time maybe we're at church or something. We go, you need to be digging this thing. You need to be reading it. You need to be studying it. It's alive. It's powerful. The second thing is we find out the Bible is truth. It is truth. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now, in my day, there were things that were true and things that were false. And people said, that's truth. And people said, that's wrong. That's truth and not wrong. But nowadays, that's not exactly true. And see, we live in a world without absolute truth. And the Bible, in a world without absolute truth, the Bible is the absolute truth. You know, there are people out there who will say, what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. What's right for you is right for you. What's right for me is right for me. What they're really saying is, we pick and choose what we think is right or wrong, and there's not certain rights or wrongs. It's just whatever I think is right or wrong. That goes back when you read in the Old Testament, which says, every man did what was right in their own eyes. That was the Old Testament. Every person did what was right in their own eyes. We got the same world today with everybody that says, well, that's you. I was in an organization on campus, the Association of University Ministers, and the people would say, everybody has their own faith plan. What's right for you is right for you. What's right for you is right for you. Because they didn't want to offend anybody and say these people don't believe the right thing. So they just said everybody's got their own way. Now, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. So when people come up and they say, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Now, there are certain things that are true, and the Bible is truth. That's why in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. It is. We can always go to the Bible, never go wrong. God cannot lie. Study it, dig it. It is always right. The third thing about the Bible is that it is effective. Isaiah 55:11 says the Word of God never comes back void, but accomplishes his purposes. Now think about that. That means today, when we talk about Psalm 19 or we talk about these verses, you may be sitting out there, and it may not affect you, but it will affect you if you will let it, because it's effective. It never comes back void, but accomplishes the purposes. I've had people say to me, now, JB, you teach like verse by verse through the Bible. Yes. So Matthew, yes. And so today, Matthew, you know what it's going to be dealing with today? It's really hard. Let me tell you something. This week, we're going to deal with church discipline. The next week, forgiveness. The next week, divorce. The next week, rich young ruler. I'd like to be gone for a month, okay, because these are not easy subjects. But let me tell you, somebody could say, well, you're teaching Matthew. How do you know everybody in your church needs Matthew? Because they all do. And because God will take what we teach on a Sunday morning as we go verse by verse, passage by passage, and it will never come back void, but it will accomplish the purpose that God has. So if we're open to the Bible as we're studying it, as we're being taught, it goes right to the heart, goes right to the heart of the issues. It'll never come back void. And so that's why when you get to speak somewhere, when you get to teach something, always teach the Bible, because it's effective. It's alive, it's powerful, it never comes back void, it's the truth. And so whenever you teach something, if it's the scripture, it's going to touch people the way God wanted it to touch people. And that's why you don't ever have to say, oh, I don't know if this is going to be any good. Listen, it's the Bible. If people are open to it, it's going to be really, really good. There are people who sit there and they don't listen to anything. They can walk out the door after the service and you can say, what were y'all talking about? And they go, I can't remember, you just walked out the door, yeah. But they really weren't listening. So what you got to do is, as Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, what? Hear. And what he meant, that's a way of saying, you need to listen to this, okay? That's what he's saying. The Bible is effective. Now, here's the next one. The Bible's perfect. And you're in Psalm. I told you to turn to Psalm 19. And we're not going to go through the whole thing, but I just wanted to hit just one little part. And you've got the things in your handout. It says Psalm 19, and it gives you these things. But look at this. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is the perfect, inspired word of God. And that word perfect means complete. It restores the soul. In other words, it gives us information that takes care of us. And then in verse 7 again, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's sure. That means it's unchanging. And the idea that it gives wisdom. Because notice what it says, making wise the simple. When you go to the Bible, there are principles in the Bible that people say, well, the Bible's an old book. The Bible has principles that are right now for right today. If somebody came to you and they said, I went to the bank and I tried to get this loan and I couldn't get a loan, but they said if I could find somebody to co-sign with me and you're my best friend, would you come to the bank and co-sign with me? You know what the answer is? The answer is no, because the Bible says do not do that. It's not that you may love them like a brother or sister or a kid, but you cannot violate the scripture. Because if you sign with them, you know what? You're now responsible, not them. They could never pay a penny, and the bank looks at you and says, you owe us this money. Well, but they're the ones that borrowed it. No, you signed with them. So there are principles in the Bible that are for every day, all the time, anywhere, any way. There's the third thing. It's right. 19 verse 8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right. Rejoice in the heart. The word right there means they're correct. It means you can trust them. You can trust the Bible. When it says something, it says it. You know, there are a lot of people who dismiss the Bible, but when I go back to the scripture, especially the first 11 chapters of the Bible, I take it literally because that's what it says. I mean, when Moses wrote that down and when it was passed down from Adam and Eve on down all through all, nobody ever said those 6 days were six long periods of time. They were 6 days. Now, some people might say, you guys are just stupid and ignorant. No, if you read it in the Hebrew, it's exactly what it says, and anyone reading Hebrew or reading the Bible would know that it said six literal days. That's how it did it. Now, it's true. It's right. It's accurate. It always has been, always will be. Look at verse 8 that says it's pure. It says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, pure, enlightening. It has the idea of holy. And enlightening the eyes means helping you grasp it. It's like, oh, wow. Wow, I never saw that. And then, of course, the last one is 19:9 is true. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. So when you think about the Bible, it is so wonderful. I love the Bible because there's a million reasons. But one thing about it, let's say you learn something from Genesis. You don't have to know that 5 years from now it's going to change. If you learn something, you learn something, because the Bible doesn't change. The Bible is perfect. When it says this person did this, that person did that. When Paul wrote Philippians, Paul wrote Philippians. And when he wrote it to the Philippians, this is what it said. I mean, you've got the inspired, perfect, accurate word of God. That takes us to number five, and that the Bible is inspired. I want you to do this. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. Just flip, like in your Bible, almost to the back, and you got 1 and 2 Timothy. Most of you know this verse. It's 2 Timothy 3. And most of the time we do 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. But I want you to go back to verse 15. I think I got it right here. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16, and 17. Everybody turn back there real quickly. It may take you a second. Just kind of flip big to get to the back, and you can find it. I hope you're all there. I hope you're awake. But no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so look at this one. The Bible is inspired. Notice verse 15. He says, and from childhood, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, and from childhood you have known the sacred writings, that's the scripture, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. Now, through faith which is in Christ Jesus, that salvation there is all aspects of salvation, not just justification salvation, which is eternal life salvation, but the Bible is able to tell you how to live the Christian life. The Bible will tell you what's going to be the future. So it is really perfect. The Bible brings wisdom. And then look what he goes on to say. He says, and all scripture is inspired. Inspired means God breathed. It means it's given by God. That means God took these people and he breathed his message through them. And so when Paul wrote those 13 letters, when Peter wrote those two letters, when John wrote those five things, when those people who were inspired by God wrote, he breathed through them his message. Now, what's so amazing about this is he used their background, their language, their upbringing, their terminology. So when Luke wrote, Luke was what? What was Luke's background? He's a doctor. When he writes in ways that he uses words nobody else uses. John, what was John? What? What was John? He's a fisherman. He wasn't even educated. When you read the Gospel of John in Greek, it is the most simple Greek written because he wasn't educated. But God took it. When you read Paul, Paul was educated, trained, a Pharisee, a Roman citizen. He writes and uses nothing but participles. In the Greek, the Greek's not like English necessarily, and you have this sentence, but then, I mean, Paul took a sentence, and he just wrote all over the place. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 3, going through verse 11 is one sentence in the Greek. That's how Paul wrote. I mean, when I took Paul, I love Paul, but I said, Paul, well, you're just too smart for us. We can't even figure this stuff out. So he took their languages, their tendencies, their backgrounds, and he breathed through them his perfect word. It is exactly what he wanted us to know in the way that he wanted us to know us, using human beings without any kind of errors. And so what does he say? All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God. And then he says, and it's profitable. It means it's for our benefit. And here's what he says, profitable for teaching, reproof for correction, and training in righteousness. Teaching tells us the truth. Reproof shows us where we're wrong. Correction shows us how to get right. Training shows us how to stay right. That's what the Bible is for. So you study it, it's going to show you the truth. It's going to show you where you're wrong. It's going to show you how to get right. It's going to show you how to stay right. That's what makes the Bible so perfect. That's why it is God's gift to us. Think about how wonderful it is. And then he finally ends this by saying, so that all this is true, so that the man of God, we'd say the person of God, may be adequate. That word adequate has the idea of mature, equipped for every good work. We're mature and equipped. That's why Ezra said, I wanted to study the Bible, I wanted to apply the Bible, and I want to teach the Bible. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to dig the inspired word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, which is the truth, which never comes back void, which is just perfect, and we're to take it and apply it in our lives. And it equips us to serve and to be mature. Wow, and great truths. So, do you love the Bible? Without raising your hands, how many of you, at least weekly, have a time in which you study the Bible? And I'm not talking about a quiet time. A quiet time is when you read and you write down things and you pray for other people. And it's just your time every day with God. I'm talking about a time in which you're digging the Bible, in which you're studying the Bible. Some of you say, well, I've never done that. Well, then you need to take Brian's class, the 412 Foundations, which talks about observation, interpretation, application. There's like four or five lessons on how to get into Scripture for yourself. Or next year, you can take the 2-2 that I have lessons on that. Or you can take my class this spring, which talks about the Christian life and how to live it out and how to get in the scripture for yourself. Or you can take the New Testament. What is it, New Testament or Old Testament we're teaching? It's new? New. And that's you can see the whole Bible, how it fits New Testament. Study it. Dig it. It's alive. It's powerful. Never comes back void. It's perfect. It is the truth. It is alive. It is profitable. It helps you mature. It equips you to serve. See, when a person says, I want to serve God, then you know what I say to you? How much of the Bible do you know? Because the Bible prepares you to serve. The Bible prepares you to serve. Okay, so with that in mind, we're almost through. So let's think about some applications. Let's thank and praise God for his amazing gifts. Now, this is what this whole study is about, God's gifts to us. And we've seen a number of them so far. But this one says, let's thank God for his Son, that's the Savior of the world, eternal life, which comes by faith, and then giving us all we need to live for him. And we saw last time he even meets our needs. So that all ties together. So let's thank God for his Son. I mean, when we wake up every morning, we should say, thank you, Lord, for letting me live another day, and thank you for saving me through Jesus Christ as a gift by faith and giving me what? Eternal life. I would never want to forget it. And then this one says, thank God for the inspired, perfect Word of God to know, to apply, and to pass on to others. It is alive, it's powerful, it's true, it's effective, it's perfect, and it's inspired. Think about the Bible. Now, the challenge that I have for you is that if you don't have a time, maybe weekly, in which you're actually studying the Bible, and you could say, well, I'm going to study Matthew. And I know where we're going. I know we're in chapter 18. You could start studying, if you wanted to, 19, and see what you can find, put it together, get ready, so that when I teach it on a Sunday morning, you can say, well, he missed that one, didn't he? You know, because I saw it this way, but that's okay. You study it and you dig it. And yeah, as J. Vernon McGee, if you want to be right, agree with me. That's what J. Vernon McGee would always say. But the bottom line is, are you studying the scripture yourself? You could do this. You could say, listen, I'll let JB do Matthew. I'm going to get like Philippians, or I'm going to get a book myself, and I'm just going to study it myself and see what I can do. And this is where you need to know observation, interpretation, application. This is where you have to have that bookmark that actually shows you. Our bookmark tells you everything on how to study a passage. If you hadn't picked one up out there, you should pick one up out there. I told you my story. I decided when I was coaching at Mississippi State and I got on fire and I said, I'm going to study the Bible on my own. I'm going to pick out something. And so I said, I better find something short. I've told you all this before. So I flipped through and I found Philemon. Philemon is like 25 verses. I thought, surely I can do Philemon. I didn't realize it would take me like a month or two to go through that verse by verse, passage by passage. I thought Philemon would be a short little book, and it might say something like love one another or something, you know, but it didn't. It said a whole bunch of different things, and I put that together. I had it studied. I had it, and it was the first thing I ever studied, and what was an amazing thing, one Sunday, not too long after I studied that, the guy teaching the Sunday school class at my church, where they had a bus ministry in those days, he comes up to me right as the class is about to begin, says, one of the buses broke down, I got to go. Can you teach this class this morning? I thought, what have I ever studied to teach? What was it? Philemon. I got up, taught the whole book of Philemon in one day, one time. Okay, so what have you studied? What have you put together? It doesn't have to be a whole book. It could even be a section. It could be Psalm 19. It could be anything. Dig the word. Know it, apply it, and pass it on, because it's alive, it's powerful, it's true, it's effective, it's perfect, it's inspired. It's the gift that God has given to us.